Hello and welcome to the T3 Podcast, your weekly dollop of all that's good and true in the world of gadgetry. Coming up on this week's So Good It Hurts show, Android 3, Rise of the Machines. No way, that was Terminator. Apple's antennas are still in a twist, and the Daily Mail falls for a Steve Jobs spoof. And £130 for Microsoft Kinect, Kinell, as Luke would say. Plus, it's T3 Awards time. This week, we'll be checking out the music gadgets you can vote for. So, joining me on this odyssey, it is the one and only Luke Peters and the man of men who are manly. It is T3's Mr. Duncan Bell. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
And sitting in the corner, holding his microphone because he broke the microphone stand 3 weeks ago.
Sitting in the corner like a bad boy.
It's Chris Smith.
Afternoon.
Afternoon.
He is a skater boy.
Although it's technically still morning, Chris.
Well, not when the podcast goes live, Dan.
That's true.
Hey!
Fail!
Answer that and say fashionable.
Now, Duncan, I would normally turn to you for some sort of rant at this stage, but...
Reasoned opinion.
Yeah, sorry. Yes. Yes. Perhaps, though, we should make this a group rant, because it's been somewhat of a hilarious week for Apple.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah, especially the antenna department. Anyone fancy being an antenna engineer? Dash iPhone?
Have you... My favourite funny thing that has happened this week. No, my second favourite, because my favourite was the union of left-handed people saying, in all seriousness, this phone discriminates against the left-handed. And then, like, as if so it's racist to own an iPhone, basically.
You know how that would have happened,
that not the left-handed people's union?
Well, whatever they're called. I don't know.
You know what would have happened there, though? Like, because this is a boring story, so I'm going to say it. But, like, I used to work at, like, a press agency in Liverpool. And whenever something happens like that, well, my boss would be like... Yeah. Be like, you know, get on the phone to the left-handed union and see what they think about it.
Rent a quote is what they're called.
So that's exactly how the story would happen.
It's not even accurate because the last thing you want to do with an iPhone is make phone calls because it's useless at it. But it's really good for the internet and that. And for that, it discriminates against right-handed people, if anything, because your palm of your hand is up in the spot of doom.
There we are.
But my favourite thing was Apple's further response after saying, oh, just don't hold it there.
Yeah.
Which actually I think is a fair enough response in a way, was to say... all phones have this problems. If you put your hand over the aerial, it'll attenuate the signal. And it's like, yeah, that's a very good point, Apple. That's why the King aerial is usually at the top of the phone where you don't bloody hold it. That is such a terrible thing.
It's
like,
it's been really badly managed so far.
And I'm sure is this job, though, it's genuine, isn't it? An antenna engineer for the iPhone.
Really?
Is he going to go around every single iPhone in the world?
Is this just a job that comes up, you know, normally... Or have they really posted this in response?
Well, I can see a very good reason why they'd be asked after an aerial engineer, which is obviously somebody's completely cocked up designing the aerial on this one.
But how,
like shutting the stable door if the horse has bolted, though, surely, isn't it?
Ever so slightly. Oh, maybe iPhone 5.
Yeah, okay.
How did it leave? How did it leave testing? They must have known about it, and I can't believe Apple have been this slack about it.
It's what we said before. It must be that everybody at Apple holds their phone... You know, like a kind of English gentleman holds his teacup.
Yeah. With a little pinky
kind of very, very some delicate kind of grasp.
Just didn't associate holding the phone in a particular way with the signal dropping off. It may just be, you know, signal drops off from time to time. You hit a spot where there's bad signal. You know, maybe no one quite put the
two
together.
Maybe.
But the
crowdsourcing, isn't it? As soon as millions of people get the chance to play with it, immediately becomes apparent. But if
exactly.
only 9 or 10 people play with it.
Mm. But there's, apparently an update's going to happen in the next week.
But how can a firmware upgrade
fix this? This is the official line. Mm-hmm. Is that it's just going to be a software update, and it's going to change the way that the frequencies work.
I was going to say, you know how you could fix
bullshit.
You know how you could fix this with a software upgrade
by shoving it up your ass,
by just changing the way the bars drop off. If you extend the time it takes for the bars to drop off, everyone will go, I've still got full signal,
or just don't change them,
because there's actually no official definition of 3-bar signal or 4-bar signal. That's why most phones, they have 5 bars. They hold on to the maximum signal forever and ever, and then it suddenly just disappears.
Yeah.
It's because even when there's rubbish signal, they're still saying, oh, I've got... Same with battery meters. Mm. Battery meters look like green for ages, and then suddenly, bonk, they've gone. It's because when people look at their phone and go, oh, look, I've got a full battery, they think they've got a great battery life.
Well, I mean, what I don't understand is a lot of people's response to this has been, oh, you're going to drop calls, and this is the bad thing. But I don't think, firstly, iPhones are terrible for dropping calls anyway. And secondly, I'm not sure that it will lead to dropped calls. It might lead to interference.
The experience,
you might get dropped calls, but it certainly does affect anything involving data, browsing or the email or most apps involved going online now.
And that's the point. And the experience we've had in the last couple of weeks is it isn't dropping calls at all. It's when you are browsing the net or waiting for data to be pushed to your phone, it does have an effect.
Yeah,
100%.
Although if you then move your hand, this is where the grip of cleverness becomes useful. But you shouldn't really have to do that.
And it's when you're not thinking about it, that's when you realise, why I haven't got any signal? Why is my internet so slow?
Because
I'm holding it in the way that Steve Jobs didn't want me to.
We must all learn to do what Steve wants.
The Mail on Sunday fell for a fake Steve Jobs
hilarious
tweet.
Absolutely, you couldn't make it up. It turns out you could.
This was the tweet from CEO Steve Jobs. We may have to recall the new iPhone. This I did not expect. The Mail on Sunday promptly published this as a story. It says something about the Mail on Sunday, I think, but
doesn't it on the feed say, by the way, this is not the real Steve Jobs?
And if they just had a look at some of the other tweets, they may have got the idea. Other CEO Steve Jobs tweets: my heart is blacker than my turtleneck. Every time an iPhone rings, an angel gets its wings. And these aren't the androids you're looking for. If they just look, though, three tweets before the infamous recall tweet, they would have found just FaceTime my wife, if you know what I mean. So how on earth they thought this was the genuine Steve Jobs?
Because there's an influx of workies at the Mail on Sunday at the moment.
There we are.
Who know the internet.
Yeah, who can tweet.
Or it's one poor shift worker who's coming for the weekend and will never work in journalism ever again. Bless him.
Or her.
Oh, well. Or her, possibly. Right. moving on, anyway, to our top story. Anyone for gingerbread, I should say, because barely days after Android 2.2 peeped from the cake tin, Google's already been busy baking 3.0. Eldar Muztazin of Mobile Review got the skinny on this one. Is that a genuine surname?
Can you almost smell marzipan out of his neck?
You almost could, yes. Or Tarzan?
This is the kind of technological insight that people listen to this podcast
exactly
for, isn't it?
Exactly right.
This man's name sounds a bit like marzipan. That's a very good point. You don't get that on Engadget's podcast.
Certainly not.
Tune in next week.
I imagine. I've never listened to it.
The minimum specs, though, are enough to get you drooling here. 1 gigahertz processors, half a gig of RAM, HD screens. Bring it on, I guess.
Yeah, it's not that mouthwatering, is it? It's almost...
They're the minimum specs, though.
Sorry, my mic stand has just tipped over.
They are the minimum specs.
In an Exorcist-style moment.
Because the word on the street...
Oh, yes.
...is that Motorola... I was just chatting to Liam before we came on. Motorola are readying a 2 gigahertz dual-core gig of RAM with running gingerbread.
Running gingerbread, and that like the gingerbread man.
If the UI is nice and sweet and it looks good, that would just about dip on the iPhone.
That's called a computer.
It is basically.
Aren't phones fast enough? Isn't the current generation of phones, doesn't it do everything you want a phone to do pretty briskly?
Depending on what,
phones are fast enough when you get them out of the box, and then you load them with widgets and other things, and suddenly they crawl to a halt. And I need speed.
Yeah. The iPhone was terrible. If you had more than 150 contacts, it would slow right down because it couldn't set the original one. Mm. So you need a faster processor for all those back ends.
Yeah, that's a very slow processor. But the 1 gigahertz ones that they're all running now seems to be...
Yeah, but if you're, in the next year, we're going to be... There's a possibility you're going to be streaming HD and all sorts of newfangled things to your phone, then you're going to need a faster processor.
And if we're all computing
in
the cloud...
Why would you want to do that? That doesn't make any sense. It seems like complete overkill having a processor that fast in a phone.
Well, as the apps get more, require more speed and more
maybe. Be good for gaming, I suppose.
Gaming, and just stuff that we can't do on a phone right now that people haven't even thought of will emerge.
Maybe.
Duncan's not convinced.
What does the 3DS run on?
That's
nowhere near a 1 gigahertz processor. Absolutely nowhere near it. And that can do 3D. So I reckon on a screen that big, you don't need a 2 gigahertz processor.
Okay. The Gingerbread, apparently a completely revamped UI, which takes its cues from the Gallery app on the Nexus One.
I have used that.
I didn't use it and think...
It'd be great to base an entire phone around this.
I was thinking the same.
It must mean swiping between apps, because that's the only thing about the gallery is you can swipe between things.
Which is kind
and
of...
zoom out.
Which is a bit like WebOS. You kind of swipe between apps, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe a touch like that.
Well, that was quite good on WebOS.
Yeah, it did work nicely. But Android 2.2 is going to live on.
Froyo.
Yeah, it's going to stay on in sort of handsets that don't
is
quite
really
make
frozen yogurt.
Yeah, apparently it is. Apparently that's everybody in America knows that, but we don't really eat frozen yogurt over here. So.
They eat way more frozen yogurt than they do ice cream over there.
I thought it was like a very minor character from Lord of the Rings or something.
Is that why you're moving?
Yes, absolutely.
Chris, can't get enough of his Froyo.
I thought maybe they thought, oh, Froyo, that's not a very good name. So they wanted to move on very swiftly to the next OS.
They are keeping Froyo because on handsets that aren't powerful enough,
sure,
they'll stay running 2.2. I mean...
Interesting.
Yeah. Lots of people have sort of gone there and said, oh, God, what a strange thing to do. But it happens all the time in computing. You know,
netbooks
run XP, or they did until Windows 7 came along, you know. I don't think that was a problem that there were two different OSs running concurrently.
I suppose the problem is that the Android market as it stands isn't all that. And if developers now have to develop, you know, oh, do we go for Froyo or do we go for Gingerbread to develop for? Presumably the apps won't, well, certainly ones for Gingerbread presumably won't run on Froyo.
Yeah, so maybe they'll be better. There are going to be apps that don't run on both.
That could be the problem. But in terms of, from the user's point of view, it shouldn't. I don't see why that would be a disastrous idea. No.
Okay. The bar though, I mean, it's been raised by FM4. This has got to be them catching up, presumably, or overtaking.
It depends what. Yeah, I guess. In terms of, well, setting the hardware spec as low as that. But is there any mention of what the camera has to be like? Or is it only processing stuff?
No mention on the camera. I mean, we've never seen a good camera on an Android phone.
Dell Street Cam is amazing.
But that is like
is it a phone? Is it a tablet? Let's not reopen that debate. Right. But yeah, on a standard phone, we haven't yet seen a
decent camera. It's a big boy's
phone. That's a big wish. I
still think that the main thing that makes the iPhone good is the apps and is the fact that the UI is still probably better than Android.
Okay.
And like all the other stuff is almost secondary. Like I don't think the iPhone 4 is that much better than the iPhone 3GS. It just kind of is a nicer platform for all the stuff that was already good about iPhone. So the problem Android has is the phones are great, but the market isn't as good. And the UI, the UI actually is fine. It's like, but maybe in a few areas lags slightly behind.
Well, that's what 3.0 could perhaps sort out. But
yeah.
We're hearing, I mean, none of this is official, but we're hearing it could be in handsets before Christmas. So it's not that far off, you know.
Well, that would make sense.
Can't be far off an official announcement if that's the case.
Yeah. My money would be on October.
October, you say?
There we are. My birthday.
I'm hearing lots of Motorola rumours, so I'm guessing there is going to be something big from Motorola, and it'll be running. I keep wanting to say shortbread.
Spit it out.
Gingerbread, and have some stunning specs.
Most important question is, what's the next one going to be called?
Well,
post gingerbread.
Yeah.
Post-gingerbread.
Can you think of a dessert that begins with H? It's tricky, isn't it?
Haribo.
I've already thought of one for Zed. That Italian stuff. Is it Zabaglione?
Tweet us.
Is that a dessert?
Tweet us with your desserts beginning with H.
Yeah.
And we'll see if we can guess the next Android. we will wait for developments on that. But it is time to say, here is the news. Could Microsoft's controllerless controller system, Kinect, cost £130? That's the supposed RRP splashed on the possibly not so reliable online store Shop2, which also gives a launch date of the 19th of November.
It's well over the $50 cost in the US of its Sony competitor Move, especially given earlier rumours Kinect would only cost £50. Shop2 does add official looking specs, saying you need 175 meg of free space on your 360, and that the motion control box will be able to track 20 joints on up to 6 players.
That's 120 joints in all. Impressive. Can't sing? No problem. Rock Band 3 is going to be packing auto-tune style technology that can bring harmony to the worst of voices.
The Isotope technology promises studio-grade audio effects that boy bands and Cher have relied on for years. Finally, we'll be able to hit that high note on Loving You. That wasn't Cher.
No.
That was
But that is a song with a high note that you can't hit.
It does have a high note.
But Cher has relied on autotune.
She didn't rely on autotune. She's got a lovely voice, but she used it as an effect.
As an effect.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Chris. And finally, it's been a bad week for Duncan's favourite OS, Symbian. One of its biggest fans, Symbian Guru, aka Ricky Cadden, has blogged that he's giving up on Symbian and going Android. The final straw, the Nokia N97, which he slams as craptastic.
But don't worry, Ricky. Nokia's ditching Symbian too. It announced the Nokia N8 will be the last N series to run Symbian, with all its new handsets switching to the Linux-based MeeGo. Craptastic Symbian will still live on in Nokia's cheaper smartphones, which is great news for all those Symbian fans out there. Hello, anyone?
Hey!
It's great when the world catches up with you, isn't it? It's, yep. Do you think that's down to me?
Entirely down to
mentioning
you.
It three or four times on the podcast, and then off it goes. That was hilarious. The guy literally, his website and presumably his nom de guerre is literally Symbian Guru.
Yeah.
And he wrote this thing saying, I'm through with Symbian.
That's it.
I'm going over to Android.
Throw down my tools.
So now he's like Android Guru, I suppose.
Yeah. There are other Symbian blogs that's all about Symbian, for instance.
And what do they think?
They still like it.
They're still staunch.
Oh, yes. They love its openness and wonderful.
There are some people who still think the world is flat. You know, I mean, you don't have to give credence to an idea just because a certain number of people hold it.
What, people in Bognor?
Yeah. No, Holland, where the world is very flat.
It is destined to be a low-end smartphone OS, I think, from now on. Anyway, let's find out what you've been...
From
now on. Whoa! Let's find out what you've been tweeting to T3DOTCOM. Duncan, an excellent tweet to start with, I think.
Is it? Good. Stephen Hatcher, a.k.a. Hatch82... says, do you think that means he was born in 82?
Yeah,
he was the 82nd person to want to be called Hatch.
Who knows? I'm going with born in 82.
Definitely.
So that makes him
28.
Very good. Impeccable maths. What was I supposed to be doing? Sorry.
Yes,
he says, do Chris, Dan, and Duncan, obviously from the brilliant podcast, oh, that's why we've included this.
Guaranteeing
tweet.
It's included, yeah.
Do they have Twitter accounts, as it would be good to follow them? Having said that, I'm not sure if good would be the word more interesting in Duncan's case, I think. That's very true, because I was actually kept awake all last night by a bunch of crackheads in my car park.
Really?
Yeah, and that's not something that most people tweet about,
there
is it?
You are.
So, but no, I don't have a Twitter account. You do, don't you?
Yeah, I'm D-Mordsley.
You do as well. Luke does.
I do.
Although he doesn't care about you, apparently.
No, I never get mentioned on these bloody things. Which is fine.
I'm actually after more followers at the moment, so I'm Chris Aerosmith, as in the band.
Chris Aerosmith. Nice.
Yeah.
I get it. Because your actual surname is Smith.
Yeah.
And you are quite light.
So with Aero in the middle,
you like saw.
Not that you look like a chocolate bar.
When Luke eats an Aero. When Chris eats an Aero.
But I also really like Aerosmith as well.
Yeah, and I did also get that reference, yes.
Excellent. Yes, so Dee Maudsley and Chris Aerosmith. And Luke, what are you?
Well, LISCON 09, which would make this person 1 year old in our...
Could be.
Why don't HTC launch a UK version of the Evo 4G, but without the 4G? I think it would make a killing if it had a Super AMOLED screen.
Well, it is a good handset. That is a point. I mean, 4G is its kind of selling point.
Yeah, that is its selling point.
Why don't they make an iPhone without the phone?
Yeah.
No, I agree with him. I think it's a good idea. Like,
or her.
But they already do. The Evo is just the Desire with 4G in it.
No, it's got a bigger, better screen and stuff as well.
Is it?
It's got a super AMOLED screen.
No, I can't remember what else, but there's some more killer stuff on there. It's got HD video as well.
Big deal.
Hasty video, better screen.
Okay, LISCON 09, start the campaign then. And Chris Blythe, a.k.a. Blythemeister. My friend went to Orange Store in Brighton with an iPhone 4 signal issue. No guesses, no prizes for guessing what that issue is. He got £25 credit to get a bumper from Apple Store.
Blimey, that's really interesting.
That is quite interesting.
Except, well, no, because apparently then Apple... Not perhaps as a result of this specific tweet, but they issued a diktat, supposedly, to resellers in America. No free bumpers.
In America?
Because that's like, well, I don't know, maybe worldwide. But yeah, no, because obviously if you give a free bumper, that's saying there is a problem.
Yeah, right.
And of course there isn't.
Okay.
There's no problem.
If you got it on Orange, hot footed to the Brighton store and you may get a free bumper. Who knows?
Free advice to hold it weirdly.
Exactly. With your claw hand.
Anyway, Chris, you are here for a reason.
Really?
So give us your gadget of the week.
Okay, my gadget of the week this week is perhaps the most amusingly named telephone in the history of mobile phones. It's the Acer Liquid E.
Liquid E.
The second drugs reference of the week.
Yeah, he's a good.
tracking 60 joints. I think that's what they were doing in my car park last night, actually.
But yes, the Liquidy is Acer's second Android phone, and it's exactly the same as the Liquid, only it boasts Android 2.1 instead of 1.6. It's got
so basically, if you had the Liquid,
Eclair, I guess.
If you had the Liquid previously, you could just upgrade.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, okay.
Well,
to essentially this.
I'm not sure whether you can or not, but. I guess the point of it is that nobody bought the Liquid on 1.6, and now they can go like, oh yeah, well, we've got a 2.1 handset, but it's exactly the same phone.
Really?
It's exactly the same.
Entirely.
Same design, same everything.
Same units.
Same hardware, same size, same weight, same everything.
So does Eclair run okay on it?
It runs okay. It's got, it claims to have a 1 GHz Snapdragon processor, but it's underclocked to 768.
What, so it's increased the battery life sort of thing?
I guess so, yeah. But like, it's basically bare bones Android at its most bare bones, apart from a couple of little things.
It's quite a nice looking Android, as they go. It's
a bit cheap to me, right?
It's all, oh, okay. Well, it's kind of all white with a flat screen and flush buttons, which is quite nice.
Sort of. I mean, they're kind of white and black. That's a look that says Imperial Stormtrooper to me. That's the
it is quite Stormtrooper.
Yes, it is rather Stormtrooper-y.
Do you think they're going to have a problem? Do you think people still care about what brand of phone they own? Because Acer, a lot of people, I mean,
Acer, yeah, it's a bit cheap PDA to me.
I think they had a better shot with the Liquid first one, because it was only really the Hero they had to take on then, but now they've got the Desire, the Legend, a bunch of great Motorola phones, a Dell Streak as well. But like, they're going to really kind of struggle with that, I think, because
what's the flashing thing?
It does have a glowing light.
That's the message indicator, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that's
nice. It's kind of got an LED at the top.
So right at the top of the phone.
Yeah, it's a right pain in the ass when you're trying to sleep, though. Oh,
yeah.
The battery's charging.
Yeah, I've got you. There's a little envelope flashing.
Not as much of a pain in the ass as a bunch of crackheads in the car.
Well, yeah, yeah. I do live in
lovely sunny Washington. That's one thing that the iPhone has always missed, is it doesn't have a... I know the idea is you're always playing with it, so it doesn't matter, but it doesn't have an indicator light to tell you you found a message.
No,
no, it doesn't.
There you are. You need to get yourself an Acer.
But yeah,
no, I wouldn't say that.
That's coming out shortly.
It's all right, but who the hell's going to buy this?
Well,
is it cheap?
Well, this is. Is it like on an upgrade path for a lot in a coffee warehouse and whatever?
I mean, I'm not really sure what the selling details are at the moment, but I can't imagine it's going to be like up there with the Desire and the Milestone and all the top end Android phones at the moment. It's kind of.
So we're looking basically for a rock bottom price for this.
I reckon so.
Everybody might be tempted.
Yeah, if it was really cheap, we'd be good, because if it were really cheap, it would feel more expensive than it is.
Yeah.
If you follow the logic of what I'm saying.
I mean, it does look all right.
Android, but compared to the really Nexus One or the Desire or whatever, it's plasticky, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good. Now then, hopefully you've been busy checking out the gadgets you can shortlist for the Tech World Oscars, the T3 Awards. This week, we're going to have a peek at Music Gadget of the Year. What's the lineup here?
When's this? This goes out today.
This goes out today.
Okay.
It always goes out today. Whatever day it is.
Talking to you, not the listeners.
We're almost live.
Okay. So, in a few weeks, the shortlist is going to be.
Today's last Friday, if you're listening on Monday, by the way.
Okay. Good. So, we're still at long list stage as far as the podcast is concerned. Okay. So,
this is voting to get us from long list to shortlist.
This is very slick, boys. Come on.
Very slick. So, we have the top 10 music gadget of the year, in our opinion so far, the BMW Zeppelin Mini, the iPod Touch 64GB, the Sony Walkman A845, the Brothers Wall of Sound, which...
Brilliant.
Have you got that, Dunk, or have you got another
one? No, I've got... I used to have probably the biggest iPod dock you can get, which is the Geneva XL, but it's been crushed by the Brothers Wall of Sound, which
this
is about twice
ridiculous.
The size.
Yeah.
Although you can now get the Geneva XXL, which is just insane, but I think that's more of a home cinema thing with a dock on it than a dock.
The Pure Sensia, which is the touchscreen radio.
Apps.
Apps and ting. The Pioneer CDJ 2000s, which...
Catchy.
Have you seen them? Have you played with them?
Nope.
No, you don't care.
The DJ CD decks.
Okay, I played with them when they first came.
Very advanced, you can connect your laptop, all sorts of things.
Nice.
I mean,
not just CD, because it's
quite niche, though.
Very niche, and probably only find them in clubs, but as a piece of technology...
Which is what it's all about.
They're pretty advanced. The Sonos S5, which came out this year, which is the portable Sonos hi-fi system. The Vita Audio R2i, and probably the most interesting and thing that does actually make a difference is the Cambridge Audio DAC Magic, which is like a DAC converter, digital to audio converter. You can stick it in anything and it just boosts MP3s and sound.
I think that's what it's most useful for. I've actually got one.
Does it make a difference?
It does. It really does.
Oh, that's interesting.
It warms them.
How big is this thing?
Not very big.
So about
for people who can't see what I'm miming here,
it's about half the size of a copy of T3, but about four times as thick.
Right. Yes. That's sizable.
It's like if you take the Christmas issue of T3 and chop it in half.
So it's really halfway up the cover. It's something to stick in your rack system.
It can glide in quite nicely next to your computer or near your computer because it can also stand on its side.
But we're not talking portable here.
No.
I thought it linked up to my Sonos and it pumps through the Sonos and gives me nice warmness.
Yeah, because most of my MP3s and stuff are like at 320 kilobits per second. Yep. And it can't work magic on lower resolution MP3s, but ones that already sound quite good and are ripped at a high res. Sound very nice.
I'm quite interested in this category because I'm at the stage where we've just sort of finished decorating our house and now it's my turn to unleash the technology.
Get busy with the wires.
Yeah. So, think words like wall of sound and, DAC are music to my ears. Ba-dum.
Quite literally.
So I basically might just take half the list and install it.
I don't believe for one minute. You're married, right?
Yeah.
I don't believe for one minute you're going to be allowed to do that.
Well, I'm getting Sonos. She's sold on that.
Dude, you did sort the garden, man. Come on.
Yeah, we've got to go. The garden's finished. What more does she want?
What text in the garden?
Yeah, ungrateful cow.
I've got solar LED lights in my deck.
I get threatened every week. Can you please clear up World of Wires, which is just a box of crap. Please clear it out.
I finally unboxed my desktop computer and installed it all and... I got told off about the wires for that as well. What is it with women and wires? Why don't they appreciate them?
I'm really sad about, when I go to the States, I'm going to have to dispense of so much stuff that I acquire, like all of my HDMI cables and stuff. And I'm convinced that I'm going to need those. And I can only take a few things.
Oh, tell me about it.
Oh, man.
I've got two televisions in my spare room. Just because I might want a television somewhere else. I don't know.
So, Luke, if you're going to tip one of these, is it the DAC?
That is my favourite out of that list. It's something a bit different. It's like £120, so it's not extortionate.
I like it.
Cash, and it does actually make.
You do own one, so does that mean you're tipping that, or you?
Oh no, I mean
something else.
You mean what do I think is going to win? Hard to say.
Good, excellent. That's the sort of insight that we pay you for, Duncan.
Maybe the Zeppelin thing, because
although, a beautiful thing.
No, it's the Zeppelin Mini, which I don't think is very beautiful, but it does sound pretty good, and it does have a lot of tech inside it. So it seems like a very T3 kind of music.
But if it's not beautiful.
No, I know. That's where it falls down. It's odd because the first one I didn't think sounded particularly good, but looked really nice.
But it looked awesome. So this is the Zeppelin Mini, which loses the aesthetic appeal.
Well, a bit. I mean, some people like it, don't they? Mm-hmm. I suppose I'm going to have to be massively boring and say the iPod Touch for the ninth year in
really
a row.
Massive. It's not going to win.
No, I don't think it'll win. That's just my personal favourite.
Okay. Right. Chris, go on then.
I mean, 64 gigs.
Pluck one out.
Come on.
I'm going to go for the wall of sound.
That's my favourite, I think, just because of
it's so
just
grotesque.
The name.
It is annoying. Annoying. It is enormous. Sorry, it's
size.
If you look it up online, you get the sense of scale from the fact that there's an iPod docked in it.
Yeah,
and the iPod looks like a little sort of speck.
That's
of
what.
Dust.
That's
like
what
a USB key.
Yeah,
like in the side of a.
And,
cube.
And they, obviously it'll be like a touch or whatever, but it looks like a shuffle because it's so out of proportion with the speaker thing.
Good. That's what I want. You can go and vote at awards.t3.com. And that is it for this week. T3.com has all the latest, and T3's smartphone special is on the shelves now with all your iPhone 4 needs. As for us, we're on iTunes every Friday. So until next week, I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 Podcast.